we need to do one more step than compared to EigenLayer, which is the 0 to 1 step to make Bitcoin stakeable. Then we make Bitcoin restakeable.
Welcome to the Staking Insider podcast, where we explore the frontiers of staking. Today, we are speaking with Fisher Yu, who is the co-founder of Babylon Chain. Fisher gave a talk at the Staking Summit 2023, unlocking 21 million Bitcoins for staking. The team developed a Bitcoin staking protocol, which allows anyone to stake their BTC with a time lock on the Bitcoin blockchain, makes it slashable, and without bridging it anywhere, using it to secure other proof of stake chains. So proof of stake chains can basically rent BTC security via Babylon to secure their own chain. And today we're going to dive into the technical details, how that works exactly, and what's the validator's role in that and for the ecosystem, and just explore the Babylon chain ecosystem and the future for BTC as a stakeable asset.
Where did the idea for Babylon chain came from?
Yeah. So to answer this question, I should provide some background of myself and Professor David Shea. We both came from an academia background. We do blockchain security research. And one fundamental thing that we noticed is that Bitcoin and proof of stake chains, they have their inherent advantage and disadvantage. Bitcoin have a liveness, which means as long as there's only one miner survive in the world, the Bitcoin chain can keep growing.
Great.
But Bitcoin does not have finality, where at a certain point you can tell, yeah, this block is finalized, because Bitcoin, the chain keeps growing and the likelihood of this block of being reverted becomes smaller and smaller, but it doesn't have finality. On the other hand, US chains have finality, that if a block receives 2/3 of the validator's vote, yeah, it is done. It gets consensus. But POS chains do not have liveness, which means for liveness to happen, for chain to keep growing, at least two-thirds of the validators need to be online. Bitcoin has liveness, but no finality. POS chains have finality, but no liveness. So our original thinking is, can we somehow combine proof of work and proof of stake to achieve a consensus that has both liveness and finality? Then we come up with a concept of Bitcoin security sharing, where we extract the security of Bitcoin and share it with the POS world so that the POS world become much more secure. And building a Bitcoin secured decentralized world is the vision of the Babylon project.
That's amazing. So it basically started from like some research efforts that David and you did in this space.
Yep.
And then you came up with the idea of combining best liveness of Bitcoin and the finality of POS into a single consensus layer, basically, right? And then, so you did a lot of research around EigenLayer and looking into proof of work and proof of stake. And I know, like, for example, Sriram, he was like the founder of EigenLayer. He also did a lot of research around these topics. Did you guys already work together there on some of these topics? Or yeah, would be great to kind of understand. Have you been working together on some of that stuff? He's also an advisor for Babylon Chain, right?
Yes, indeed. So our friendship with Sriram went long before the founding of Babylon. Yeah, so before Babylon, we were collaborators in academic research. So indeed, Sriram and I, we co-authored one of the most famous paper in the data availability area called Coded Merkle Tree. Yeah, so we did research together. And the concept of security sharing, it's also something we came up together. Like then Sriram choose to make it happen in the Ethereum ecosystem, and David and I choose the Bitcoin ecosystem.
Amazing. So what was first, EigenLayer or Babylon Chain?
Same time.
Yeah. And is it fair to say like Babylon Chain is to Bitcoin what EigenLayer is to Ethereum?
No, not necessarily. If I have to describe it in a not scientific way, I would say ETH plus EigenLayer will be equal to Bitcoin plus Babylon. Because what EigenLayer does for Ethereum is to make the already staked ETH to be restakeable, to provide extra security and earn extra yield. On the other hand, Bitcoin itself is not stakeable at all. We need to do one more step than compared to EigenLayer, which is the 0-1 step to make Bitcoin stakeable. Then we make Bitcoin restakeable. So EigenLayer does step 1 to 10 for it, but Bobulin needs to do step 0 to 10 for Bitcoin.
Amazing. Yeah, and that obviously starts with like BTC time locks. So obviously like Bitcoin is a totally different architecture than Ethereum. So it would be great to actually dive a little bit into how does the staking work on Bobulin from like someone, imagine I have some BTC in my Bitcoin wallet and I want to use it to stake via Bobulin chain to secure some other chains and like in the Cosmos ecosystem or wherever basically. How does that work on a technical level?
So before we dive deeper into that, I would like to make a small clarification since you mentioned time lock. So the Bobulin protocol, it's a suite of protocols that extract the security of Bitcoin and share it with the POS world. Our first protocol is called Bitcoin timestamping, which is like a synchronization mechanism between Bitcoin and POS world. Our main protocol, it's called Bitcoin staking, which is what I'm going to talk about. So timestamping and staking, they are two different protocols, work together.
So the timestamping is a bridge between the Bobulin chain validators and the Bitcoin protocol to synchronize. And the Bitcoin staking protocol is in regards to the time locks on the Bitcoin chain.
Bitcoin timestamping, it's about making the POS chain aware of when something happened on Bitcoin and allow Bitcoin to know when something happened on the POS chain. It's like, so when we talk to each other, I might occasionally ask you, hey, are you hearing, do you hear me? You say, yes, I hear you. So it's like a synchronization to make sure our time is synchronized. And Bitcoin staking is a completely different protocol that to some extent rely on this time synchronization to make decisions. Yeah. So for the sake of argument, we can forget about time stamping and just focus on Bitcoin staking. Okay, cool. Now, how does Bitcoin staking work? To answer this question, we should first ask ourselves, what defines a staking asset? I have $10, is it a staking asset? I have 10 ETH, is it a staking asset? I have 10 Bitcoins, is it a staking asset? Right. So what defines a staking asset? So to us, we believe the definition of a staking asset is actually slashability, because staking is actually the collateral you lock somewhere, then you become a validator of a POS system. Then if you do well, you will get reward. And more importantly, if you are malicious and attack the POS system, the asset you lock there can be slashed. So slashability is actually the definitive feature of a staking asset.
So how do you make Bitcoin slashable?
Yeah. That's the like billion-dollar question. How do you make Bitcoin slashable? So the challenge, so this concept sounds very simple and intuitive. Yeah, Bitcoin is like $1 trillion asset. Why not use it as a staking asset, right? The challenge here is Bitcoin doesn't have any smartness or in general, it has very limited programmability. So unlike ETH, where you can write smart contracts to do fraud verification and slashing, you can't actually submit the evidence to Bitcoin chain and ask Bitcoin miners to slash someone's Bitcoin. You can't. Like I can't tell Bitcoin miners that, hey, Miracle just beat me up. See my bros here. Yeah, let's approve. Please slash Miracle's Bitcoin, right? So Bitcoin miners don't understand this. So how to make slashing execute correctly without any smart contract is the key. Okay. And also, our solution shouldn't require the Bitcoin holder to send their Bitcoin to any third-party address, like to a bridge or to a wrap BTC somewhere, something like that, right? Because like not your keys, not your coins. So what we really want to build is a trustless, non-custodial BTC staking protocol. How to make this happen? As I mentioned earlier, slashing is the definitive feature. So how to make slashing happen? Bitcoin after the Taproot upgrade supports the Snore signature. Snore signature has a very interesting property that whenever you sign a message, you need to generate a random nonce and use that random nonce to sign a message. If you use the same random nonce to sign two different messages, then anyone who sees your two messages, two signatures, can actually decrypt your Snore secret key. That means Snore signature can be constructed into something called extractable one-time signature, which can prevent equivocation. So say you are a job seeker, you have two job offers in front of you. You are only supposed to sign one of the contract, right? You are not supposed to sign both. So is there a way to prevent you or deter you from signing both contracts? The answer is yes, if signing both contracts will cause your secret key get leaked and then all your asset will be gone. So the Snore signature supported by Bitcoin can be constructed into an EOTS, one extractable one-time signature. Then this property can be used for POS consensus, because now you think about POS consensus, what's the worst attack a malicious validator can do to a POS chain? It is actually to fork the POS chain. POS chain has finality, right? So at each height, there should only be one and only one block that receive the majority of validators' vote. If you want to fork a POS chain, it means at a certain height, two different blocks at this height have received two-thirds of the validator's signature. So two-thirds sign the top one, another two-thirds sign the bottom one. What does that mean? It means that this adds up to more than 100%. That means some of the validators, they actually double signed. They both voted for both the top block and the bottom block. That means for this same height, these validators, they signed both the top block and the bottom block, which is equivocation. Then the EOTS signature we just mentioned on the Bitcoin can be used to prevent such double signing or equivocation if the same EOTS key is used to vote for the POS blocks, and the same key is also used to manage some asset on the BTC chain. So this way, if a validator tries to fork the POS chain, then it has to use the Snore EOTS key to sign two blocks at the same POS height. And once it does so, anyone can see the two signatures and decrypt its Snore secret key. And use its Snore secret key.
Does it mean the entire collateral can be slashed? Then if someone forks the POS chain, their entire collateral will be exposed, right? So it's not like a partial slashing or something. It's a
That's more advanced features.
Collateral.
That's more advanced features. I'm now just describing to you the most basic protocol where how we make slashing happen. Yeah. So once the secret key is decrypted, all your asset managed under the secret key can be slashed. So slashability can be it's achieved through secret key exposure.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it really prevents any validators from double signing.
Yes.
Because otherwise they will get slashed.
Yep. Yeah, correct. Then you asked about more advanced features, which is called partial slashing. I totally understand. Slashing sounds very scary, even for ETH. Like for every ETH validator, you stake 32 ETH, and when you do something wrong, at most one ETH gets slashed. It's not like the entire thing gets slashed. This is also completely doable with Bitcoin staking. So it is a very naive solution which works. It's like, okay, I will stake 10 Bitcoin and assume the slashing ratio is 10%. So one Bitcoin gets slashed. Then what I can do is for the 10 Bitcoins, 9 Bitcoins are locked only, and one Bitcoin are both locked and subject to this secret key extraction slash. Then equivalently, you lock 10 Bitcoin, and when things go south, only one Bitcoin gets slashed. Yeah. So this achieves partial slashing of 10%.
That's cool. Yeah. And can you explain how does the time lock work exactly? So you like when you stake your BTC, you lock it up for a certain amount or a certain, yep. like time frame?
Number of Bitcoin.
And then it's not withdrawable during that time. So
yes, correct.
And then is there a way to like withdraw it earlier, or how does that work?
Okay, so there are two parts here. First, how do we lock Bitcoin? So Bitcoin is lacking programmability, but it is not completely done. It does have a scripting language that allows you to specify some spending condition of the UTXO, of the Bitcoins. One such condition is called time lock. It allows you to specify after how many Bitcoin blocks can this Bitcoin be spent. Say if you apply a time lock of 1,000, then it means the Bitcoin can only be spent after 1,000 Bitcoin blocks. Like 1,000 Bitcoin blocks, it's how long. Each block is like 10 minutes, 1,000 is like 10,000 minutes, which is roughly 7 days or a week. So by applying a time lock of 1,000 Bitcoin blocks, you effectively lock your Bitcoin for 7 days. And what you asked about withdrawing earlier is then again an advanced feature called on-demand unbonding, which is supported by most proof-of-stake systems. Yeah, so that is also doable by Babylon's BTC staking protocol. So this is doable because in the Bitcoin scripting language, when you define spending conditions or the Bitcoin, you can apply ORs between the conditions. It's like a time lock of 1,000 Bitcoin block or something else. So that something else is our channel to allow Bitcoin to be unbonded earlier before the long time lock expires.
Under a certain condition, basically.
Under certain conditions, yes. Yeah. For example, as we all know, for most POS chains, when you unbond, it's actually also subject to an unbonding period. When you apply for unbond, you can't actually get your stake back immediately. Usually you take like 1 week, 2 weeks, or even a few weeks where you can't vote and you don't have your fund. It's the unbonding period where your fund is locked, but in you are flashable, but you don't have the voting power. So unbonding period is also implemented in BTC staking. So really what we do is we turn Bitcoin into a proper, indeed first class staking asset for any proof of stake system. Most, if not every desired property of a staking asset, we make it happen for Bitcoin staking, like including like trustless
what's
staking.
What's going to be the bonding period?
Unbonding period. Yeah. So,
and how long is it going to be in Babylon? Is that already defined?
Technically, we can set it to any time. We don't have a strong preference on making it too short or too long. We currently thinking about like 1 week or 2 weeks. Yeah. So what properties can you think about for a staking asset? Like include trustless staking, non-custodian, we made it happen. Slashable, we make it happen. Partial slashing, check. Early unbonding with unbonding period, check. Delegation, check. Restaking, check.
Yeah. How does the delegation work? Just in a sense of you lock your BTC
and you delegate
the
voting power,
right?
You delegate your voting power to someone else.
So that means if I lock my BTC on the Bitcoin chain, then I'm automatically delegating my voting power to a Babylon validator on the Babylon chain, correct?
Yep. Nice. Well, if you can do self delegation. If you run a Babylon validator by yourself and you do self delegation, it's also okay. So self delegation and third party delegation, both are fine. Even if you do third party delegation, it doesn't mean you send Bitcoin to them. No, it is proper POS delegation where the delegated validator, it can never steal your Bitcoin. The worst thing it can do is to get your Bitcoin slashed, which is the same in a POS system where you delegate your ETH to an ETH validator and that validator attack ETH, then everything gets slashed. So it's the same thing. So the worst it can do is to slash your staking asset.
Obviously, one of the key feature that I see is why there's no bridging that like you don't kind of bridge your Bitcoin to somewhere else or something. That's not needed at all because you have all the logic, all the infrastructure happening on the Bitcoin blockchain natively. And then you have the time stamping to do the syncing. Does that mean like there's not going to be any NST tokens Or like, is there any way to like make the my staked liquid or my staked Bitcoin BTC position liquid in a sense?
Well, it is still possible to have LST and even LRT. We are currently working with a few very reputable projects in designing LSTs. So how that work will be that the Bitcoin stakers, if they want to have LST, then they will stake through an agent. That agent will issue an LST token for the Bitcoin holders. And then that agent, like similar to Lido, will stake the Bitcoin on behalf of the user to the Babylon's BTC staking token.
But it's going to be so like... Everything
you do
is
BTC staking,
right?
Via agent.
Yeah. So you were just talking about the liquid staking and liquid and basically liquid restake, or like restaking means you secure multiple POS networks. But that's basically in the nature of Babylon, right? Like you are a native restaking protocol. So you're restaking your BTC already. So technically everything would be an LRT instead of an LST, right?
Yeah. Okay. So Babylon's BTC staking naturally supports restaking without needing the help from a liquid staking token or liquid restaking token. It's just that you can build on top of Babylon's BTC staking and restaking protocol. Correspondingly, you have the LST and LRT on top of it.
As a delegator, can I decide like which POS networks to secure? So I can opt in into different POS networks that are secure. And then it also means when I stake my BTC, I can decide, okay, I want to take a high risk. I want to use my BTC as collateral for like many different POS chains, or I just want to use it for one POS chain. And then what the LST or LRT would do is like kind of bundling these buckets together and make it more pre-selected for the users and liquid, right?
Yeah. So this could be one direction, I think. But the gist is that the delegator or staker should have full control of where the stake goes. So this is something I learned from the Staking Reward Summit last year that you guys hosted. The validators want us to make sure we design the protocol in such a way that the actual stakers, they can choose where to stake to. The validators don't choose for the delegators.
Yeah, amazing. That makes a lot of sense. And that's also what I heard from many validators. Like they want to decide themselves, like for Eigenlayer, for example, which ABSs they secure and so on. And I guess it's the same thing for Babylon as well. Is it like similar same architecture between like Eigenlayer ABSs and Babylon chain and different proof of stake chains that are secured with BTC?
So at abstract level, it will be quite similar, because what we are doing are both security sharing and staking. But in terms of the architecture at the implementation level, it will be quite different. For Eigenlayer, most of the logic be implemented at smart contract on the ETH, on the Ethereum chain. But we can't actually write any complicated logics on Bitcoin chain. So actually, Babylon itself is a control plane for BTC staking, and this control plane is implemented using Cosmos SDK as a layer one blockchain. And Babylon POS chain will be the first POS chain secured by BTC staking. Then we enable BTC restaking so that all the other POS chains and layer twos and decentralized sequences, Bitcoin layer twos, can enjoy Bitcoin security and liquidity through BTC restaking.
Does that mean that the Babylon chain, the layer one Cosmos chain, Babylon chain, is basically like an intermediary that provides this BTC collateral to other chains? Or is it just one of many?
It is both the first and the control plane or marketplace. If BTC staking is a two-sided market, on the supply side, we have Bitcoins. On the demand side, you have many POS systems. You need a control plane or marketplace in the middle to match the supply with the demand. So Babylon is like the middle layer.
So if I want to spin up my own proof of stake chain, or like an ADS basically, then I basically go to Babylon chain and buy the security from Babylon chain, because Babylon chain is basically offering the BTC security. Or would I go to the BTC directly? Yeah.
So Babylon does not sell a Bitcoin stake to POS chain. It's a decentralized and automated like registry. POS chains go to Babylon and say, hey, I want Bitcoins. I want, say, 10 billions of Bitcoin stake to me. Is any Bitcoin stakers wants to stake to me? And Bitcoin stakers will say, hey, yeah, I want to stake to you. Here is my EOTS key. Here is my Bitcoin. And Babylon will match them and say, yes, now the demand and supply, they meet. The timing, it's okay. Then let's activate BTC staking on its POS chain. So Babylon will not be a whole Babylon is not like a wholesaler that buys the Bitcoins, Bitcoin stakes and then sell it. Babylon is just a like automated marketplace in the middle.
Yeah, it's the matchmaker. And
matchmaker, yes. Exactly.
So does that mean like the validators on the Babylon chain, they are doing this matchmaking basically? That's one of the responsibilities of the validators on the Babylon chain. Is that right?
Yeah, they don't do it intentionally because we write this matchmaking using Cosmos SDK. So it becomes part of the Babylon chain's logic. Yeah, the validators just run Babylon nodes.
It's hosted by them.
Yeah, they don't actively participate in matchmaking.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, but like technically, they are maintaining this infrastructure of their matchmaking. Yeah.
Yes. Correct.
Cool. And so what's next for Babylon Chain? How far are you in development? You just launched your testnets and when is the mainnet coming? And do you already have like some POS chains that are interested in kind of renting the BTC security basically for their own chains? And yeah.
So we launched our first BTC staking testnet late February using Bitcoin Signet. So we developed our thing very carefully. So we don't use BTC mainnet for testing. So our first testnet used Bitcoin Signet, which is a testing network maintained by Bitcoin core developer. Yeah, we used that to launch our first testnet. Original plan was to open it for 7 days to the public, check about 100K users to stake. But within 48 hours, we had to shut it down because within 48 hours, we already reached 130K delegations. Then we are done. Then we just shut it. So we see a very strong, very, very strong, this very encouraging. And then we are working towards launching a next testnet by the end of end of April. Yeah, by the end of this month. And then if everything goes well, yeah, we will see how the mainnet should look like in Q2, Q3.
And do you already have any kind of AVSs or projects that are looking to rent the BTC security? Have you already started working on that side or?
Yes. So there are a lot of demands. Like people come to us and they are all looking for a big course. They can, if you check our Twitter space, like every say 2-3 days, there's announcement or a POS project or roll up project wants to collect with Babylon to be secured by Bitcoin stake. Because this is really a positive sum game and very beneficial for the POS system. Their security can be boosted to a level that is impossible with its own native token. And also Bitcoin staking will bring Bitcoin holders to their chain and use them and become their users. Bitcoin staking is like a no-brainer for many POS systems.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how the ecosystem around BTC staking evolves over the next few months. And I think if you're launching mainnet now in very soon already, and for the next staking summit in Bangkok in November, there's going to be like a thriving ecosystem already active in that field, which I think is going to be really exciting seeing how this evolves and bringing everyone together there.
Yeah. So next week, we will give a keynote in Hong Kong, the Hong Kong Web3 Carnival. I will give a keynote. So in that keynote, I will share some progress on our ecosystem side. And we are working very hard towards making that a concrete implementation and then launching it.
And just like as a last question, looking a little bit into the future, how do you see the space for Bitcoin staking? Do you think Bitcoin, BTC can emerge as like kind of the number one stakeable asset, flashable asset for the crypto economy? And how would that world look like?
Yeah, that's indeed the vision we are like working very hard towards. Our vision is indeed to unlock or activate the entire 21 million Bitcoins and make it very useful as a staking asset. Otherwise, like most of the Bitcoins are sitting there idle doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin is still like the most secure decentralized blockchain in the world. So it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And is it then like directly competing with like ETH, Sol, and like all the other assets of the proof of stake chains? Like what's the case for Ethereum or Solana at some point just saying, hey, why do we need like our own token? Why not just use Bitcoin? Is that a possibility or?
So, well, Bitcoin staking does not have to replace the native staking. You can actually have dual staking or even multiple staking asset staked to secure the chain. So Bitcoin staking does not invade or interfere the governance of the POS chain. Where the governance of the POS chain is done by the native token holders. So Bitcoin will be like a machinery you hire as your bodyguard, but you will not try to intervene your internal decision making. So you remain a sovereign blockchain.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's probably like a central bank. They don't use only one collateral, but they have some gold, they have some this, they have some bonds and so on. So maybe like some of these protocols will also use some BTC to secure, just to throw it in the mix.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I'm super excited. Thank you so much for being on. I'm really looking forward to you guys progressing over the next few months, and let's take it from there. Thanks for the show.